on your mind?
Busy is what's on my mind, which is good.
Good.
That's really what it comes down to. It's just busy. And maybe I'm not using my downtime as efficiently as I should, is the other side of it. So on this, on the way that we've scheduled our meetings, making calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that leaves Mondays and Fridays open. I don't move into those days with enough purpose. So I find that, it's just being busy, right? So I need to work on creating the purpose in those days and start those days with objectives and, with the desire for defined outcomes, because really the amount of work that gets done Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is mind boggling to me, compared to where we were. So that's what's on my mind. Is I need to make plans and changes on how I use my downtime, if you will, but within regular working hours, Mondays and Fridays, right?
So how much time do you have on Monday and Friday to do new work?
Like 9 hours.
So you're
administrative... I have no client calls scheduled on Monday or Friday.
And no administrative catch up or?
I would say, well, so there are administrative catch up, probably not. Kristen's really good at staying on top of me throughout the week and getting me to jam on things whenever there's a moment. But there are things like getting proposals together for clients and things like that. So if we're going to call getting a proposal together, administrative catch up, then yes, that's what needs to get done in that time. And
yeah, catch up and prep time. You got 3 days of calls to do. You got folders looking at you.
Yeah.
You got to look through them and make sure you know what you're going to do on each one of those calls. And you shouldn't do it, 3 minutes before the call.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what I got to work on.
Probably do.
100% today was that. Today I was opening up a folder 5 minutes before the meeting, going, fuck, what are we working on?
Well, if you have an agenda, then you've got it.
Yeah. And we have the agenda, and it does allow me to make sure that I'm creating some meaning in the conversation without being fully prepared, if you
right.
will, for lack of a better term. So yeah, the client doesn't know that I don't have a sniff of what's going on moments before the call.
Right.
So that's wonderful. The agenda is a huge ass saver, 100%.
Yeah, and then you're basically, doing the executive summary,
yeah.
And then from the executive summary comes the new agenda.
Yeah.
It just kind of keeps going, right?
Yeah. So
agenda, executive summary, new agenda, executive summary, new agenda, until you eventually... And I was explaining to another team, my concept of financial planning is that it's never ending.
Right.
You kind of are giving the client a financial physical all throughout the year by asking good questions.
Yeah.
And then updating their plan by having a good agenda.
Yeah. I would agree with you. And our agendas are they will start moving in that direction. Right now, we have a lot of catch up on things. I didn't realize how many things we had undone, right? Tasks that just hadn't been looked at, things that needed to be addressed. And then in turn with the batch processing, there's a lot of, transactional batch processing that's happening right now too. So, what ends up happening is the executive summary, they're pretty much action items that are getting done, same day, within a week, that kind of stuff. They're less about specific planning items. But we're moving that way. And ironically, for I think two clients now, I've said that our short-term goal, because we have that on the agenda for quarterly reviews, review short-term goals, long-term goals. And we don't have those documented for anybody. We actually don't have that information. So I'll ask the client about that. And ironically, a lot of our short-term goals are to come up with long-term goals now. It's just interesting, right? And it'll be a neat adventure to go down with clients to do that, to resolve those issues, because we don't have a lot of plans in place. And so the way that I'm framing it is, saying, okay, let's talk about some goals, short term and long term. And I said, these goals can be anything you want them to be. It can be, I want to have X amount of dollars by the time I'm here, or I want to meet this life milestone. Ultimately, and what I'm asking you for is there anything in your personal and financial life that you would help me, would like me to help track progress to? And that's where we kind of start the conversation from there. And, it's been valuable and interesting, and it's going to continue being more meaningful, but, it's a good exercise for sure.
Okay. So here, let me use this analogy with you and think about it as compared. Okay. So I'm a guy that likes to constantly be getting better at whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right. Now I can't do that with everything because physically sometimes that gets in the way. Right. So my tennis is probably not going to get, I could get better if I wanted to. I don't care as much about tennis. Because it's just a fun game. And maybe that's the way people think about golf, but that's not the way I think about golf. I think about golf as someday I'm going to play on the senior PGA tournament. Skits. No, I don't really, but I do want to win. Right. I do want to win my club championship, and I do like the look on the face of somebody when they've just been beaten in a match against me. Okay.
You're honest?
No, I'm just a competitive idiot, okay? Yeah. But that's what I like. That's me, right?
Right.
And so I'm just always curious that knowing that financially I'm fine and I can afford it, why the pro doesn't say, Rob, you look like the kind of guy that would really like to get good at this game. Why don't we schedule a series of 24 lessons? I'll only charge you $5,000 or whatever it would be, right?
Right.
And that would be his annuity, and he could get on with his life knowing that I would show up for every one of those lessons and I'd practice in between. I'd be a great student for him. Okay. Why doesn't he do that? Okay. He doesn't. They don't do that. They don't think like that. They don't think like a business person. So my question is to you is, how can you do that with your clients?
Right.
Okay. What I'd like to propose to you, Mr. Client, is that we get better at this.
Yeah.
Okay. Why be bad at financial planning, estate planning, investing, and all the rest of it? Why be average? Why don't we be world class?
Yeah.
Why don't we do everything right? In the next 12 months, we have 12 sessions to get really, really good at this. And then guess what? We're going to have 12 sessions after that and 12 sessions after that. But every session, we're going to be moving the ball down the field. We're going to be getting better at this. So at some point, we're really, really, really good at it. Because you know good and you know bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can see somebody that's natural. They're just good. They got talent. They got skills. They've been practicing. They're very, very good. And when you have clients, they're the same thing. Some just don't pay any attention. They do a lousy job. But you know the ones that want to get good and like what you're doing for them, and they really will pay attention. And you say to them, look, you're paying me just like I was your golf pro. I want us to get better. I want us to get really good at this. So we're going to work together to get really good at this.
I like that.
It's just, everybody has this vague goal in their head, this vague goal out there of finishing. Right. Finishing estate planning, finish cash flow analysis, finish this, but not get really good. What is the best? What is the, what if you were going to, this is a world-class financial planning situation. This person, I've given them every good idea and they've utilized them and done everything perfectly.
And so what I'm writing down right now is my mental homework is answering the question, what does a world-class financial plan look like? I can picture it. I can picture like the steps and things like that, but really what does that look like? And or financial planning process. It is exactly what you say. It's connecting to the plan. It's having the plan connected to the clients, and it's for having certainly the low hanging fruit is picked. The base level stuff that we absolutely need to have in place for every individual. And then moving the needle on the harder to decide stuff too.
So you say this year we're going to get every piece of low hanging fruit done for every client. Yeah. Okay. Next year we're going to go into the more complicated stuff, but every single client that we have is going to be done. Yeah. Risk management, risk analysis. We're going to be anything that could get him in trouble. We're going to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're going to take care of liability management. Anywhere he's paying stupid amount of money or 22% on a credit card is gone for he or their kids or anybody, right? That's gone. And then ridiculous asset allocation or ridiculous risk taking, that's gone. Okay. We're not going to have 15 different models here. We're going to have consistent models that will, you know, good rates of return over time, risk adjusted. When we say, okay, the client, but also your process, right?
Yeah.
You're hiring me to be your golf pro. You want to be world class. What's your process? And what's your checklist to make sure everything is perfect every time? So if you ever watch the Blue Angels, the Blue Angels flying always impressed me, but you know who I was most impressed with? The plane captains. Okay. Those are the guys on the ground that you don't pay any attention to, but are dressed perfectly in their blue uniforms. Okay. They come out in exactly the same way. Get the pilot ready to fly. And they end up by pulling the chocks on the wheels, saluting, and they all go off and fly. And then they do a perfect turn, go back into their little shack and wait for them to come back. Right. Every process is meticulous and has a checklist for it. Because if you forget something on a checklist as a pilot, you die.
Right.
I'm sorry, I forgot to put my wheels down.
Yeah.
Right. So think about what is your pre-flight checklist? What is your onboarding process for a client? What is that checklist? What's your investment process for gathering the assets, putting them all together, reallocating, capturing that low hanging fruit? And then what's your steps that you take in terms of financial planning? Do you sit and listen to the client, take notes, then go fill out the form, or do you fill out the form in front of them? Or how do you do that, right? What makes the client feel the best and you're getting the information, but you're delegating as much of it as you can, right? That's the key. That's the hard part. You don't want to ever delegate that onboarding information process because you want to hear what the client has to say. But as soon as you hear it, you want to get rid of it. You don't want to be doing the inputting and the computer playing and all that. And then when you get it back, what do you do with that? How do you analyze it? can somebody else analyze it? And then you are the only one that can deliver it. Okay. And then delivering it and then following up goes into the 1242. That's where the 1242 comes in. Every item on there is something that they should be doing, and they've agreed they want to do it, but they haven't done it. And then you knock those items off. And then if we have a pre-flight checklist, we have an after-flight checklist, right? So let's say we lost a client. How do we make that transition as smooth as possible and learn from that relationship to make sure that, you know, they have a good taste going away and they speak highly of us? So, you know, from onboarding to exiting, what is that going to look like? We always don't, we don't think we're ever going to lose a client, but we are for one reason or another. And then the question is, how do we handle that? And that says an awful lot about us, right?
Absolutely.
So it's easy for me to criticize my golf pro, but do we really, really take the client in our arms and say, you're the only person in my life. I want to help you really do a great job here.
Right.
Right. And then do you really do that for yourself and say, say to you, I really care about you as a client. I want you to be the most world-class guy in America, in Canada. Scar.
Yeah. No, that's all right. It's all good. Because ultimately the end goal of this whole exercise is to have clients be raving advocates, right? And to be proud of what they've achieved with their finances with us, to be able to feel proud and want to share and boast about the excellency, right?
And just like with the folders, Eric, you've learned, you know, that once you get into the process, you don't have to engage your brain anymore. Not painful.
Yeah, it's really great to talk to people as often as we are now. It's just the folders are huge. It's absolutely huge to have them moving around and to have things set up and to know that what I need is for the better part in the folders and stuff. It's a great process that you've developed, bro. It really is. And it's effectively for whatever we paid, $10,000 or whatever it was to hire you to work with us. Like, we effectively bought a franchise in a sense. Like, you're telling us how to do it. You're telling us how to be successful. You have taken a world-class investment advisor, wealth planner franchise. And like, it's incredible that you're not charging royalty fees on this damn thing. Right. You know, as I grow and build and improve from there. Right?
Yeah. One of my associates does that, because he works for the company. So he can do that. That's how he gets paid. He kept his license as a financial advisor. But he's full-time coaching, and he takes a percent of what they increase their revenues. And it works out better than what I'm doing. But firms up to this point haven't been willing to pay for that. So, so they get a good deal.
Yeah.
I think it's a good deal. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So here's what I suggest you do with your Monday and Friday. Figure out what you need to prepare for your week. I mean, heck, I find myself preparing on Sunday for Monday. Yeah. So it's not like I'm not prepared. But if you need part of Monday to prepare, use it. But here's what I would suggest is that you build a folder for each one of these niches. So, you know, that you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
And then you schedule that appointment. Now, if you want to work on it aggressively, schedule it for every Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to work on it less aggressively every 2 weeks, and if you just think that it's going to take a long time to build it and you've got patience, then schedule it every month. What I find, I'm working on my project and I need to work on it every week. Okay. So I have a Zoom meeting every week with my committee that's working on the project. And now we've got committees inside our big committee, and everybody's got their, you know, their roles and responsibilities and what they're going to do to follow up on this. And this is like an all volunteer army. So it's not like, but everybody shows. It's amazing. You know, nobody has lost any energy. And so my point is that let's say your goal is to build a practice around those people that service your community in terms of big tractors and, you know, all the farm equipment companies, because they make a pile of money, each one of them. Then you make a folder, this, right? A folder. You put in the centers of influence that you have already. And then the centers of influence that you need. I need these are the big players, right? Do your homework. Who are the big players?
Right.
These are the people I need to meet. And then you go to the ones you know and say, look, this is what I'm thinking about building my part of my practice around the farming industry, right? People that supply the equipment to our wonderful farmers. Do you think that's a good idea? Or you can even tell them, I'm doing this and this is the reason I'm doing it. In my opinion, you're a great client. You're my ideal client. I would like more clients like you. Do you think that's a good idea? So the first thing you do is ask him if you think it's a good idea, because it may not be a good idea. You may have the best guy in the world and the rest of them are terrible.
Right.
Okay. But he says, I think that's a really good idea. Business is booming. Prices are going up. This is it. We're hitting the lottery. There's going to be a lot of people buying equipment this year, you know? Okay. If you were me, how would you go about doing this?
So it's interesting. So last week in our call, Rob, I realized that I had, I think I used that example of, I was talking to a client and he said that he was on his way back from looking at buying a business and so on and so forth, right? So I actually did reach out to that client and said, hey, you know what? You said something there and it just really, it piqued my interest. How did you learn that this client was in play? And so, or this individual business was in play. He said, well, actually they're a supplier of ours and we realized that we might benefit from having them in house. So we asked them about their succession plan and said that might be something to look at, is just acquiring their business outright. And I said, well, that's interesting. So you didn't go through a broker and so on and so forth. And I said, I'm interested, Mr. Client, because I would like to start working with entrepreneurs similar as, with more entrepreneurs like yourself that are nearing or close to or have recently exited their businesses. And he let me in on a little piece of information, which is he said this individual had just sold his manufacturing business. He said all of the short line manufacturing businesses in the agriculture space are being sold to larger players. There's a massive consolidation play happening there. So now I know that information. So now the next step is, who are the short line equipment manufacturers? And so when I say short line, that's a very short manufacturing line as far as a process, right? So who are those? Where are they? And why aren't they talking to me? Is really the next piece.
Okay. So I don't know if you remember the story I told of the guy that I suggested one of my clients go and talk to his CPA about forming a mastermind group. He came back and he said, I've got some good news and some bad news. I said, what? So the bad news is he doesn't want me to be in my mastermind group. I said, oh, that's too bad. What's the good news? The good news is he wants me to be in his. And I said, well, tell me more. He said, well, what's happening right now is an amazing amount of acquisitions going on in the medical community. All these practices are being bought up by hospitals. And so we formed a mastermind group to help the doctors sell their practices to the hospitals. So we get them ready. We even have a psychologist to help them psychologically make the transition. But we have all these people, but we need a financial advisor because we have nobody to take care of the money once it comes in. Said, what's the average sale? It's between 5 and 10 million. Right. So he was coming out of his skin, right?
Right.
This is what you need to do. Form a mastermind group of your buddy,
yeah.
Right? I mean, anybody that serves that group of people that are selling can be in your mastermind group.
Yeah.
Now you got to get a kind of a confidentiality among them.
Yeah.
Look, guys, you know, this is our deal, okay? Basically, nobody knows this is going on. This is, could be a big deal for all of us. Let's work together on this.
Right.
But I'm going to count on you to, you know, keep it between us, right? Because this is a gold mine. This is like when UPS was just went public, nobody knew it, but all those drivers, all those, if somebody was a business person, was a manager in a UPS store or a UPS business, you know, in Lexington or Indianapolis, they got $5 million in stock.
Hey.
The guys who were driving the trucks got like a million. They worked there. So this was a gold mine, and we went after it like crazy.
Right.
You just got a gold mine, piece of information.
Yeah.
But you're gonna need people you can trust.
Yeah. Yeah,
that you can put together.
Kristen, do you want to mute your line there? Thanks.
So, you see what I'm saying? You need an attorney. You need, these yeah. people all need this stuff. And if there's somebody that this guy can recommend or you know, that would be great. A CPA, all work together. And the advantage of that is nobody will let each other down because they know that if one of them screws up, you're all screwed.
Right.
So they're going to make a very special effort to make sure, regardless of what they get paid, to make sure this goes well.
Right.
Because they know there's more behind it. So they're not going to treat any of these clients poorly.
Right.
Okay. So you
this
get
is all
that.
Good. So that's a great, you know, it's neat to pull the thread on this a little bit and unravel it. And it's thinking, I have to think deeper on this and pin into it. So this, yeah, it's all good. It's a good idea. It's a great exercise to apply the Supernova principles to this
right.
niche and opportunity and learn and grow and use it. And in turn, I've been looking for a way to fix a relationship with a commercial lender because I've been absolutely draining assets out of his book of business, his lending business. This might be a wonderful way to fix that, build that and reinforce it as well. Cause he would be the one that's knocking on the doors of all these businesses, giving them operating lines, helping facilitate, you know, capital equipment purchases, things like that. So he would have a foot in the door with many of these.
Well, and you're going to get a line to the big guys that are buying them too.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to help the guys selling. You're going to help the guys buying. You're going to, I mean, just think about it, right? What, why not? You can do it all. So build a folder for the project and then inside it will be your centers of influence in each piece of it, and then you'll put them together and have a mastermind group. I suggest you have your mastermind group meet and pull it together in the next 2 weeks and have them start meeting in 2 weeks and then meet every week on a Zoom call on Monday. Okay? And talk about this and build your plan out.
Okay.
So you work it out with this guy who should be in your part of your mastermind group. And then the mastermind group gets together every single week and talk about it.
Okay.
Who are the players? Who do we need to get to know? Right. And you can have different committees doing different things,
you
know, yeah, in terms of getting to know who's doing what. It's no different than what I'm doing. It's exactly the same thing. And with Zoom, you can pull it all together and not have to travel all over the world, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. So you just think about who are the players you need. You need a banker, you need a CPA, you need an attorney. Probably need the guy selling the practice. Maybe he wants to do a, I don't know, loan lease back of the plant. He wants to keep the plant, you know, he wants to keep.
Yeah.
The real estate, and he leases it back to the other guy and gets his, you know, who's going to do that and so forth.
Yes.
A lot of business down there.
For sure there is, yeah. Then we're lucky we do have, our firm has invested capital into some of those resources. We do have business transition specialists in-house that I can lean on and get them to host a meeting and things like that and help plan transition, that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah, no, that's good. I'm looking forward to this. It feels like something I can stick my teeth into.
Yeah. And you know it and you like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm telling you to go, you know, pick a biotechnology company in Quebec or something.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
This is in your territory and makes sense. Okay. So the last time we talked about, doing some brainstorming about who else would value this as much as you have. Have you given that some thought?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a there's an investment advisor in our branch that I think would be able to action your process.
Okay, because it takes a certain kind of person, right? I mean, it's not everybody.
Yeah, so... the individual I'm thinking of, his name is Mark Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually our branch manager. However, he is transitioning out of that role and going back to running his book. So he's a producing branch manager.
Yeah.
And he's transitioning out and going back to his book, and he's excited about re-engaging with his business and reapplying things.
Have you talked to him about this?
Yes, I said that, cause I've been keeping him posted on what we're doing, right? And the successes and failures that come from that.
Yep.
And, so one of the things is we have different businesses in the sense that he has more clients. It's easier for me to do. And that's, if you're going to have a hurdle to overcome, it's going to be the idea of reducing client count.
Yeah,
but that's the scary thing about Super
Bowl. He actually came.
Sorry,
Eric.
Yeah,
go ahead. I was going to say he actually came and talked to me yesterday about it too, and was asking some more questions. And it's funny that you brought that up because yeah, that was the one thing where he was talking about was the number of clients, and you know, and I was talking to him kind of like how you and I did, saying, well, you know, it's a good project to run with because you learn what your capacity is. So
absolutely,
we had a really long conversation just about how it has been to set up going forward, how organized it's been, and just yeah. So
I'd be very happy to make that introduction. Very happy.
How would you suggest we go about meeting?
I suppose What's most effective for you, I guess, is in your experience? Like I can do it anyway. I can, you know, send an email to both of you making that connection, or I can say, hey, Mark, let's pick a time that works with Rob and we can have a quick Zoom call and I can warm up the conversation that way. And then I can jump off the line, right? And you guys can.
Yeah, I would suggest a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, number one's a Zoom, next is a email introduction, next would be, or a phone introduction, next would be an email introduction. And so what I will do is have, if you will email me his phone and email address, why don't we set up the Zoom call? Cindy will do it with Kristen and his assistant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, figure out the time. And if you get on there and just make an introduction and then just simply excuse yourself, yeah, then he and I can talk.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so today is Wednesday. Why don't I have Cindy set it up sometime that works for you guys and me? And what's your
Mondays and Fridays are good for me.
For you, okay.
Yeah, so, I don't know about Mark, but specifically that's where I've got the most flexibility is Mondays and Fridays personally.
Okay. And Cindy will know the time change and all that, so I'm not going to try and schedule it. It'd be too hard.
Yeah. But,
okay, so let's just go back and analyze what we just did.
Right.
How did that feel as a client?
Felt good.
Yeah. I mean, were you nervous or upset, or
no,
did you feel like I didn't care about you, or I was using you, or nothing?
Like, right? I knew what you were doing, but I'm not disappointed about it because I'm having a good experience. And we've already had the outcome that we were looking for through this process.
Right.
So
it's almost like it'd be a bad thing not to introduce me.
Yeah. Well, I agree. It's all fine and good. So
right. You just have to get in your head that you're doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And when your clients are raving as much like you've been raving about Supernova,
right,
don't let it go. Okay.
Don't lose that opportunity.
And I think what we did, it was, you know, it was only a week, but I gave you time to think about it. I didn't press you on it.
Yeah.
Right? But I can come back in a couple of weeks and do it again.
Yeah.
And you find somebody else.
Right.
Okay? Or you try because you're having a good experience. So my capacity is pretty heavy right now. But I wanted to practice this because I wanted you to know what it felt like. Now, keep in mind, I did everything right in the sense of I set you up. You were raving about me.
Right.
I didn't have to ask what are the three things that you valued the most from working with me, but I could have, right?
Right.
Yeah. You would have articulated them.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do some brainstorming about, with your permission, some brainstorming about who else would value this as much as you have? Right. And you go, okay. And I said, let's do that next month. You think about it. I'll give you, you know, some time to think about it. And then we'll talk. How's that? And, oh, that's great. Okay. Now, when we did it, keep in mind what I did. All right. You remember the last time we talked about brainstorming,
right,
about who would value this as much as you have. Have you given that some thought? And you're like, yep, I got your guy.
Right.
Okay, so I gave you the homework assignment. You did it. Okay, so you feel good. I feel good. Everybody's good. The next step is I don't want an email I don't want just an introduction. I want to meet him, look in his eyes, have him look in my eyes, and we decide whether this is going to be a good fit or not, because it may not be, right? You may think it is, or you may be just, you know, wanting to find somebody for me.
Right.
And he may not want to learn. Okay. So I need to hear it from him, what he wants to get out of this.
Right.
So he's a good fit for me and I'm a good fit for him. And just remember that this is an interview process when you interview the prospects too. So if you can set it up as a Zoom call, it's twice as good as just an email introduction, because that'll take you a long time to build rapport. Right. Over email or even a phone call. But a Zoom, right, you can do it really fast.
Okay.
All right. And then I kept control of the time. Do you notice I did that? Even though I didn't need to, because we would have gone easily into it and setting up the appointment. Right. I said, okay, so today is what, Wednesday, right?
Right.
And so this is what I would normally do. Right. I kind of took control and said, Cindy, I'll set it up. but if I didn't, and you were going to be in control of it, I would I would do this. Okay. Today's Wednesday. Okay. How's that? Yeah. Wednesday. All right. So why don't I give you till, when are you going to see him or when are you going to talk to him? Oh, I'm going to talk to him, Friday. Okay. He's already been in to see Kristen. Kristen. All right. So why don't I circle back? If I don't hear from you by Monday, I'll circle back with an email or a phone call. How's that? You'd be like, oh, okay. But now I've given him a deadline. I've given him time to get it done, but I've given him a deadline, and who's in control still?
Right. You're still in control. Yeah.
I'm still in control. See? That's the key. You're not going to get the kind of results you want if he's in control. Oh, I'll set up a Zoom call or I'll do this. Okay, great. Okay, so today is boom. If I don't hear from you by Baba, I'm calling you back. Okay, because I'm here to remind you and make you your best self. And that's it, right?
It's good. Okay, I like that.
So we record these every time. If you want to go back.
I'm going to have to go back and watch some of this. Yeah.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
But it's very rehearsed. It's very rehearsed. Okay.
Okay.
And you need to do it exactly the same way.
Right.
Same words, everything. Okay. And you'll get an introduction almost every time. I do.
Yeah. Well, you just did, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm with this charity thing I'm doing, I'm going to need all the revenues I can handle. I'm giving away more money I'm making.
that's very admirable of you, sir.
Yeah. It's just not a good business model.
Well, at least you keep your taxes low. Right. You know, if your business isn't making money, then hey.
Right. I'm not paying taxes. Exactly. Eric, good to see you.
Likewise, Rob. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you for everything you're doing. Terrific job.
Take care. Have a great rest of the day. And we'll be in touch with Mark's contact information as well.
Terrific. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.